The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Good morning. It's a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord, is it not?
Amen.
Amen. All right. It might get a little loud in here this morning. I don't apologize for that. I normally wear a hearing aid. You know, my wife tells me I'm hard of hearing. I can't even hear myself sometimes. But I don't think y'all are going to have a hard time hearing me this morning. I've been accused of being a dynamic preacher. I get excited about the word. One of the first messages that I preached was right next to the children's church wing, and when I got lit up, you know, the kid says, "Ooh-wee, he's mad at them." Of course, the children's church teacher says, "No, he's not mad at them." He says, "Well, he sure is yelling at them all." He's not yelling at them. I pulled that little boy aside and I said, "Look," I said, "you know, you need to be passionate about what you're passionate about. And I'm passionate about the Word of God. So I get excited about the Word, especially when I'm bringing it. I want you as excited as I am about the Word. So if I get a little loud this morning, I'm not sorry. It's just because I'm excited about God's Word. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. I love the Old Testament. I love it. Me personally, I don't believe that you can understand the New Testament outside of understanding the Old Testament. And a lot of people want to move away from the Old Testament. A lot of people want to move away from preaching the blood of Jesus. But if you look at the Old Testament, you see the blood of Jesus throughout the entire Old Covenant. You see Jesus throughout the entire Old Covenant, and it's pointing people to Jesus in the New Covenant. Amen? So I love the Old Testament, and if I can preach and teach out of the Old Testament anytime, man, I love it. I love it. So Leviticus chapter 17, we'll be looking at one verse in Leviticus. Now, that doesn't mean we're just going to stop looking at the Scriptures at that point, because I'm going to have you look, I'm going to, you know, I like people to stay busy flipping through their Bibles, finding Scripture. I mean, you know, Sunday morning service, man, it's good Bible drill time. You know, and especially if you are out of practice, let me tell you something. I always look at the table of contents. So, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, if you are able, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. God's word says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. And it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." Let me read that again. That portion. It is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. That name that's above every name, Father. I praise you that at that name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you, Lord Jesus, are in fact Lord of all. Father, I thank you that you're God all by yourself. There's none beside you. There's none above you. You are God alone. Lord, I praise you for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, your word that is life to our flesh, your word that is truth. Lord, I ask that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken this morning. Make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I may sketch in the hearts and lives of these your people, your word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. I praise you, Father, that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So without blood, there cannot be life in the body. Without blood, there cannot be life in the physical body. And I'm going to try to get you all out of here by 1 o'clock today. You know, I'll preach as long as people will listen. But I'm also, you know, firmly grasp that the mind can only absorb as much as the seat can take. You know, the good thing is y'all have got some fairly comfortable pews here, I'll tell you. That leads me to believe y'all like the Word of God. You know, y'all make these pews comfortable. That means y'all like sitting in them hearing the Word preached. I'm just messing with you. I'll get y'all out of here by 12:30. Gotta have fun, don't we? If we don't have fun, man, we're not meant to come into the church to be sullen and sit in the pew and say, I'm just here to hear the Bible preached. No. I'm gonna tell you something. The misconception that people have is that they come to church to hear the Word on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, and then they go to the house after they, you know, after they leave the church, and that's it. This is a preparation period. This is the preparation right here. Because when you walk out those doors right there, whatever door you walk out in this facility, you're walking onto the mission field. You understand what I'm saying? What you get here this morning, you need to be taking it to your friends, your coworkers, your family members, people you come into contact with in Walmart. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. We do not need to be ashamed of the Word of God. We need to use this. It's the only offensive weapon we have, and it's the most powerful weapon that we have in our arsenal. And it is our final authority. So we need to be operating in our authority. Amen. So when we leave this place this morning, we're on the mission field. I'm a strong proponent for missions, you know, especially home missions, because that's where we have the most control. Amen. So let's get back to it. I'm off my soapbox. I might get y'all out of here by one. Now that I took up that time, I'm funny, guys. All right. So when we look at the blood, there cannot be life in the physical body without the blood. And that is just as true as in the Bible. You know, you look at the Bible, blood flows through the Bible just as it does through our veins. The blood of Christ keeps Christianity alive. And someone has said, you cut the Bible anywhere and it'll bleed. The blood is spoken of 427 times in the Bible, so it's easy to see that it's not a minor theme. It is a major theme throughout the Bible. Without the blood, the gospel is dead, and we're deprived of eternal life. Listen to that. Without the blood, the gospel is dead, and we're deprived of eternal life. Uh-oh. I done got started early. I'm going to tell y'all this right now. I'm going to get excited today. Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Paul added in Colossians 1:14, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. He also explained we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Peter added, we're not redeemed with silver and gold and precious stones, but with precious, precious blood of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Then John agreed with Peter in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen? The early church understood the blood. The 22 sermons recorded by the four preachers in the book of Acts all give the same message. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to get back to preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified in the church. That's where our salvation comes from. Amen? They understood that his death and the provision of covering by the blood, of washing by the blood, was the essential ingredient of the gospel. That should cover the sermon, right? That should be enough, right? It should be. And we could all go out of this place right now with enough information to go out there and win souls. Amen? I'm not going to let y'all off that easy, though. The idea of payment to cover as well as hiding from sight. That should cover the blood right there. Wayne Watson said, his gaze always passes through rose-colored glasses every time he looks on my heart. Can you see the portrait of the blood? Can you see the portrait of the blood? It's hard to see blood. It's internal. To make it external hurts. To make the blood external hurts. You have to be cut or you have to be injured. But the Bible paints in broad strokes the blood on a canvas. And then in a minute detail, God's word breaks it down to the cellular level. We're going to have a science lesson this morning. The importance of the blood of Christ. We can see this today, but even more important is that God sees the blood applied to our lives. Amen? And passes over us. Let's put the blood of Christ under the microscope this morning and do a little bit of forensic study. Then we'll get the complete picture. A portrait of the blood. Amen? So first, we need to look at the blood in analysis. The blood is perfect. The blood is perfect, amen? The virgin birth of Christ established his righteousness. Judas cried out, I have betrayed innocent blood. Paul explained, for he, speaking of God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen? Y'all's heads are probably spinning. Y'all are going to get a lot more word this morning than you're normally used to. And if you're used to this much word, praise God. Amen? I love using the Word of God to help you understand the Word of God, to help you gain a greater understanding of the Word of God, because there is only one way for you to understand God's Word, and that is through God's Word. God is only divisible by itself. God's word is only divisible by itself. All right? When you start trying to add your understanding to God's word and what you think God's word says, what do you think happens? You mess it up. But when God's word, hear a little, there a little, rightly divide the word of truth. Well, how do you divide the word of truth? By itself, okay? We're going to get a lot of word this morning. So Paul explained, for he, God, had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. John 18:38, Pilate said of Jesus, what? I find no fault in him. I find in him no fault at all. Jesus himself said in John 8:46, which of you convinces me of sin or can convict me of sin? There was no sin in Jesus. He was spoken of in Hebrews 7:26, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's our high priest, brothers and sisters. Amen? Again, in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. John added in 1 John 3:5, in him is no sin. A natural father would have imparted the sin nature of Adam to Christ. And his death would have not provided redemption. if that natural sin nature would have been passed on through a natural man. The virgin birth is absolutely essential in the salvation of our souls. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin and did not have original sin. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name," what? "Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Jeremiah the prophet had spoken years before on this. He said in Jeremiah 31:22, "The Lord hath created a new thing upon the earth. A woman shall compass a man." It certainly was a new thing for a woman without a man to give birth to a child. But it happened. Is there anything too difficult for God? All of us should be doing this. Amen?
Amen?
The Adamic nature is passed on to the offspring by the bloodline of the man. There were no impurities in the blood of Christ. Everything about Christ was perfect, including his blood. If you were to look at the genetic structure of Jesus' blood, what would you see? You wouldn't see a man's chromosomes in his blood at all. You would see the woman's chromosomes, and then you would see some chromosome that no one has ever seen before. You would see the deistic chromosome of God. So we look at the analysis. The blood is perfect. Number two, we have to look at it in application. The blood is pure. Amen? One of the reasons we use grape juice in our communion service instead of wine is because wine has to go through a process of fermentation. The process of fermentation is actually bacteria working in the juice. It's a rotting process. And this could never give a proper picture of the sinless blood of Christ. For all that is holy, Satan has a counterfeit. Amen? And communion is no exception. Pure grape juice is the true symbol of the pure blood of the Lord Jesus, just as bread is to be without leaven. Because yeast does the same thing. The yeast that you put in for the fermentation process to produce an alcoholic beverage is almost the same type of yeast that you put into bread to cause it to rise. What causes that bread to rise? The expulsion of gas as a result of a degrading process or a waste process. So there's something being broken down. There's something impure in the mix that causes it to rise. When we look at John Calvin in a study of the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's talking about the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of Jesus, you know, you had to have continual sacrifice in the temple in the old covenant, because as soon as you put the knife to the animal's throat and you bled that animal, the blood immediately began to putrefy. It was dead. So you had to continuously offer blood on the mercy seat and on the altar for atonement of sin with Jesus. Jesus was what type of sacrifice? A living sacrifice. His blood was living. And that is the only reason, when you look at the scripture, he entered in once and for all. He didn't have to enter in once, twice, three times. So when you You talk about salvation and people talking about, well, you can lose your salvation. That is a slap in the face to Jesus Christ, who died once and for all. Because if you can lose your salvation, how many times would Jesus have to die? He would have to die over and over and over again. His sacrifice was good forever. Amen? When Dr. Curtis Hudson was struggling with cancer, on a number of occasions he went through a treatment called chelation. And chelation is similar to dialysis in the blood, is removed from the body and sent through a machine that cleanses the impurities from it, then pumps it back into the body. And this treatment prolonged Dr. Hudson's life for a good long time. After his blood had been purged of germs, disease, and bad cells, it was then able to work against the enemy's cells that were at war in his system. The writer of Hebrews stated, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Amen. Come on now. Yeah. I'm about to get excited up in here. Amen. The blood is pure. Amen? Amen. When the pure blood of the Savior is applied to the sinner, it provides cleansing. John explained in 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from some sin." Man, that little three-letter word, "all," is probably my favorite word in the Bible. You sit there and after study of God's Word, if you take that word "all" out of God's Word, it takes the meaning of the word and makes it mean something totally different. Jesus died once and for some. What does it say? Once and for all. Amen? I might get a little bit louder in here because I'm starting to hear a little feedback. I tell you, I'm sorry. If I'm blowing y'all out, I'm sorry. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? Peter wrote in 1 Peter 18:19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You weren't redeemed with corruptible things, but with the incorruptible. Amen? And because the blood is pure. Amen? In application, the blood is pure. Because it's pure, it is purifying. Amen? Come on now. I ain't saying amen for you. I'm saying amen for you to agree with me. Because if you can't agree with this, something's wrong. These ain't Jason Fraser's words. These are God's words. Amen? We have to look at the blood in action. Number three, we have to look at the blood in action. The blood is perpetual. The blood is perpetual. The animal sacrifices of the Old Testament were continuous year after year. The blood of bulls and goats provided forgiveness and pardon temporarily, only because it pointed to the sacrifice of Christ and His blood being shed for the covering of all sin. Amen? The writer of Hebrews speaks of Christ as one who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sons and then for the people, for he did once when he offered up himself. When he took his blood and he offered his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Jesus was told, "That'll do, son. That'll do." Amen. Jesus was told, "That's what I was looking for, my son. A pure, perpetual sacrifice." The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 9:12, "Neither by the blood of bulls, goats, and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." It's perpetual. The blood is eternal. Amen? We see again in Hebrews 9:26, "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Man, I'm glad we've got someone who's won the battle against death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Who's beat sin back? Who went down and whooped the devil on his own turf and stole the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil himself. Yeah. Hebrews 10:12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Amen? Amen. You know, when he sat down, he was on the cross, and he said what? "It is finished, tetelestai. The battle is won." The death of Christ set into motion a continuous cleansing for those who trust in him. We are given the gift of eternal life that he purchased with his blood. Thank God, washed once and for all, forever. Now, a lot of people take that out of context. They say, "Well, man, I'm born again. I can do this." You don't have free rein to sin. You don't. We're supposed to be striving toward what? Holiness. See, when we're born again, we're justified. Amen? We're not completely sanctified. That sanctification process starts when we're born again. But we're supposed to be striving every day to be more like who? More like Jesus. Amen? Amen. He's our ultimate example. So we have to look at the blood in action. It's perpetual. Number four. Some of y'all are probably out there thinking, "Man, how many points is this man going to have to his sermon?" As many as it takes. Point number four, we have to look at the blood in accomplishment. The blood is powerful. Amen? The songwriter wrote, "Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood." I'm not going to go on. We've already had the song service. "Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." Amen? Y'all sitting there wondering, "Man, who is this joker up here this morning? Is he really a Baptist preacher?" Let me tell you, some of these older generation in here know what Baptist preaching is. It ain't about all hellfire and brimstone. It's about preaching the Word of God and getting excited about the Word of God. Now, I can remember when I was a little kid. You know, I didn't get born again until I was 21 years old, but I was in church in the womb, all right? But I can remember as a little kid sitting in the pew wondering, man, why is that preacher hollering so much? He was so excited. I know now he was so excited about the blood of Jesus and the power of God under salvation through the blood of Jesus that I got it. I understand what was happening. I had an older lady ask me one time, you sure you're a Baptist minister and not a Pentecostal preacher? I'm a Baptist-costal. I'm charismatic as far as the word goes. I just get excited about God's word. And you won't hear me up here jibber-jabbering in tongues or nothing like that, but let me tell you something. I believe in the power of the word of God. You know, God's word says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And let me tell you something. If you don't know this word, you can't get excited about something you don't know. So you need to spend time in God's word every day. You need to spend time with the Lord in prayer every day. You need to study this word so you know it. And if you know this word, you can't help but get excited about it. Amen? The Apostle John wrote in Revelation 5:9, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Takes amazing power to do that. And we are told that they overcame the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Excuse me, Satan? By the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? We overcome by the word of God. John 1 is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. May I tell you, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Without the blood, there's no life. Amen? The blood is powerful. False religion has always denied the blood and its power. Mary Baker Eddy of the Christian Science Movement wrote, the material blood of Jesus is no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon that cursed tree than when it was flowing through his veins. Can you imagine somebody saying that about the blood of Christ? They have no grasp on what the blood of Jesus is about or what it can do. They want to take away the power of the blood because it's offensive to people to talk about the blood. I'm going to tell you this morning, more people need to be offended in the church today. We don't need to be ashamed of the blood of Jesus, because without the blood of Jesus, none of us would get saved. R.B. Time, a Bible, he's a Bible teacher in Texas, declared the red liquid that ran through the veins and arteries of Jesus' mortal body is not related to our salvation. What you say? Man, if he said that to me, I tell you, I would lose it on him. I'd probably slap him upside the back of his head and ask him, you call yourself a Bible teacher? Someone that calls themselves a Bible teacher and says that the blood of Jesus is not related to our salvation, that's an oxymoron right there. Or a moron one, I mean, you let me tell you. course, many of these teachers, people like them, stand in complete opposition to what the Bible declares. In Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So we see the blood in accomplishment. We see the blood as powerful. Point number five. I know there's another one out there saying, man, 5 points? Man, he's supposed to go 3 points in a conclusion. Well, let me tell you, I'm not your everyday preacher. If y'all haven't figured that out by now. Point number five, we need to look at the blood in acquittal. The blood is permanent. Amen? The blood is permanent. Ladies, please do not misinterpret what I'm about to say, because, you know, I'm a firm believer in strong women. My mother, my grandmother, you know, I was raised by a group of women. I lived across the street from my grandmother and my great-grandmother until I was 17 years old. And man, let me tell you something. If it weren't for my praying grandmother and my praying grandmother, my great grandmother and my praying mama, I ain't no telling where I'd be today. You know, I love them. And my great grandmother, she's with Jesus. But man, I tell you, I love my mother and I love my great grandmother, and I'll be forever eternally grateful for the prayers offered up to the Father on behalf of me and my three brothers. You know, it's a wonder we didn't kill each other. Going up and drive my mother crazy and my grandmother, because we'd run back and forth across the street carrying on. So please, women, don't misunderstand me. Gotta have some levity in church, amen? You gotta have some fun. See, a woman walked into a photography studio and she says to the photographer, "Do me justice." And the photographer replied that you don't need justice, you need mercy. It's true, we don't need justice. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't want justice, because what is justice for us? Eternal damnation in the devil's hell. That's what's justice for us. By golly, we want mercy. God's word says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. What is mercy? The blood of Jesus is mercy. What is truth? The word of God is truth. Acquit is a heavy word. It means to pay off, or to free, to clear, to absolve. It has a far-reaching meaning extending past all the way to the future. Extending from the past all the way to the future. A lot of people will look at, you know, past incidents in our existence, and one of the most recent past was the O.J. Simpson murder trial. And O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murder. You know, we look at, and so many people have said, man, yeah, he did it. Well, two people know who did that. And that's God and the person who did it. You know, we can't stand in judgment of anyone, because we're not going to take the place of God. That's a dangerous place for you to be. But he was acquitted of murder, and it can never come back on him in a court of law now. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, you're acquitted of murder. You're acquitted. You're absolved of all your sins, and it can't come back on you ever again in eternity. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Not even if new evidence is presented against us. You see, the accuser of the brethren stands before the Father accusing us every day. Saying, oh, but he did this, she did that. And what does Jesus say? Wait a minute. Your Honor, forgiven. Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of people will say, yeah, but I don't, in the O.J. Simpson case, yeah, I don't think justice was done. Praise God, justice wasn't done for me. Amen. Praise God, justice wasn't done for you. Amen. Because you and I are guilty and we know it and we don't want justice. We want mercy. Amen. We want mercy. And we need it to be permanent. Sins forgiven and forgotten. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Praise God. Not only our past sin was covered, but also our present and future sins are put under the blood when we trust in Christ as Savior. Or when we allow Christ to be our Lord and Master. Jesus' blood cleanses us from our past sins. Isaiah said in Isaiah 44:22, I blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. David spoke to this when he stated from in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? You know, you look at mathematically speaking, when you look at a line, does a line go on forever and ever? It goes on in both directions. And it continues on forever. How far is the east from the west? So far has he removed our transgressions from us. He promised not to remember them again. He said, I will remember them no more against you. Jesus' blood covers our present sins, both the sins of omission and the sins of commission, whether it be things we ought to be doing or are not doing, or whether it be things we are doing that we ought not to be doing, or the things we should be doing. These are fully covered by his blood of atonement. Amen. Jesus' blood continues to atone for future sins. This is not to say, like I said, that we can just go ahead and sin willy-nilly out there. Lose our minds. Think we can do just anything we want to do and get away with it. It's not the case. A truly saved person won't have that attitude. But we can know that despite our very best efforts, we are sinners. Just like the Apostle Paul, of sinners, I am chief. Thank God for his blood, for his son's blood. Thank God for his mercy. Praise God for his grace. Amen. Amen. We're sinners and we'll yet sin, but we don't have to get saved again. See, the Lord's not a devil giver. Amen? You know, God's Word tells us that the gifts and callings of God are given without repentance. Amen? Jesus entered in once and for all. So if you're born again, you're sealed. We don't have to get saved again once we're saved. Do we need to confess sin to God and make it right? Of course we do. We don't need to hold on to sin. If you sin and you don't confess that sin, what does John tell us? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of some unrighteousness or all unrighteousness. All, and there's that three-letter word again. I love it. And y'all have a new appreciation of that three-letter word today, don't you? A-L-L. As we continue to walk through life, we'll need daily foot washings. You know, I still got time. When the disciples came up into the upper room before they were to have their final meal with Jesus, what happened? What did Jesus do? Well, Jesus washed their feet. And the apostle Peter, you know, he was famous for opening his mouth and sticking his foot in his mouth a lot. You know, when Jesus explained to him the purpose of washing the feet, and he says, "Well, Lord, wash my whole body." And Jesus probably sitting there saying, "Good Lord, God, please give me patience with Peter." You know, he's still not getting it. Our sin's covered. When we sin, we need to confess that sin so we can get our feet washed. You understand what I'm saying here? You know, you walk along outside, you get your feet dirty. You know, but you're still covered by the blood of Jesus. You get your feet dirty, you sin. But you confess that sin, you get a foot washing. Amen? You step in something you ain't needing to step off into, guess what? You need a foot washing. Don't harbor unconfessed sin in your life. It'll hurt your relationship with the Father. It will hinder you being effective for the kingdom. Amen? We need daily foot washings, but praise God that over time and all... that all over bath that we receive by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Secures us from all sin, past, present, and future. The blood of Jesus, again, 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Jesus' blood conquers all sin. Point number 6. Y'all are already out there. I see y'all shaking y'all's head. Man, this guy can't get his point across in 3 points, man. This long-winded joker up here. I'm not long-winded. It's only 22. I'm actually doing pretty good. Like I said, I'll preach all day long into the night. Praise God for grace and mercy, because if this is the Old Testament, we'd be standing until the book was closed. And man, that could be anywhere from 4 minutes to 14 hours that you'd be standing out there. Praise God for His mercy and grace. Amen. Jesus' blood conquers all sin. We have to look at the blood in my 6th and final point. I say it's no, it's not. We have to look at the blood in appraisal. The blood is precious. It's precious. We love to sing that song, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." We love to sing that song. Well, I do. I'm old school. I like the old hymns. Peter used the term precious to describe the blood of Jesus in 1 Peter 1:19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I'm going to tell you, recently I read a story about a very wealthy man who had a very elaborate art collection of Van Gogh and Monet paintings. And his only son shared his father's interest in the collection of these art pieces. They traveled around the world buying these paintings wherever they could find them. The son enlisted in the army and was placed in the medical corps. And while he was in the medical corps in a severe battle, while carrying a wounded soldier to safety, the son was seriously wounded and died himself. The mother was dead already, and the news of the tragedy devastated the man's father. He grieved in loneliness for months. And one day a knock came at this old father's door, and when he responded, he found a young man with a package. And the young man explained that he was one of several soldiers that the son had carried to safety during the severe battle. And knowing of his interest in paintings, he had painted a picture of the son and presented it to the father. The painting wasn't rare like a Van Gogh or a Monet, but was very precious to the old man nonetheless, because it was a good resemblance of his son. The man moved a very valuable painting from the hearth over the fireplace and replaced that painting with a painting of his son. And hour after hour after hour, he sat in a rocker gazing up at the picture of his son above the fireplace. When death came to the art collector, to the man, his art collection was put up for auction. Hundreds of collectors came to bid. The auctioneer announced that they needed to be seated, and the picture of the son was the first picture to be auctioned. The moan of disappointment could be heard from the crowd. Let's get on with it. Let's get to the real paintings. The son's picture was held up by the auctioneer. And the auctioneer cried, "He'll give me $100. He'll give me 50. He'll give me 20. He'll give me 25. There was no response. A kind old gentleman in the back asked, "Will you take $10? The auctioneer said, "Sold." "Good," cried the crowd. "Now we can get to the real auction." "Ladies and gentlemen," the auctioneer said, "that concludes the auction." The crowd was puzzled and upset. Then the statement was given. The will declared that the son's picture was to be sold, and the person who took it would get all the rest. The old man who paid $10 for the picture of the son was suddenly amazed at the fact that he now owned all the valuable paintings. When a person takes the Son of God, everything God has is included. Amen?
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 Amen.
We become heirs of God and join heirs with Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus has made that all possible. And finally, point number 7, we have to look at the blood in aggression. We have to look at the blood in aggression. The blood is protective. Amen? The blood is protective. In Exodus 12, the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost of the Jewish homes, just as the Lord had instructed him. And when the death angel came by, when they saw the blood, when the death angel saw the blood, what happened? He passed over. When God looks at us, He looks at us and He sees the blood of Jesus if we're born again. And guess what? His judgment passes over. Amen? The blood is protective. It was actually their faith that brought protection. They believed the word of the Lord that had been given to Moses. They believed it enough to act on it. By following the directions just as the Lord instructed, they reaped a great benefit. They reaped a great reward. Exodus 12:13, God said, "The blood shall be with you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." We still speak of being under the blood of Jesus. The judgment will not fall on those who have placed their faith in Christ Jesus. Have you placed your faith in Christ Jesus this morning? Have you placed your faith in the Lord this morning? If you haven't, then you're not covered by the blood of Jesus. You're not protected by the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you something this morning. As the music plays, I never not give an invitation. As the music plays this morning, I have to ask you this question. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you're here today, I'm going to tell you, church attendance does not save your soul. Giving an offering doesn't save your soul. Sitting in a pew on Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it doesn't save your soul. Being a good person doesn't save your soul. Only the blood of Jesus can save your soul. If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior today, today is the day of your salvation. Not tomorrow. Not this evening. Right now. We're not guaranteed our next breath. We're not guaranteed this afternoon. We're not guaranteed this evening. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. When we hear that sound, come up hither, whether we be under the clod or still alive, let me tell you, you're going to meet Jesus one way or another, through the clod or through the cloud. And if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, whenever you stand before Him, it's going to be an awe-inspiring day. You can say, but, there is no but. You're going to hear either, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And the decision will be made based upon the blood. If you don't have the blood of Jesus covering you today, you can. Again, like I said, as the music plays right now, today is the day of your salvation. I'm here. I'll pray with you. Come, let's reason together. Amen. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Because of what Jesus did. Because of the sacrifice that He made almost 2,000 years ago. Once and for all. Why? Because He loves you. Surrender to Him today. If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, surrender to Him today. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you're covered, but you may be going through some mess in your life right now, these altars are open right here. Come and pour your heart out before the Lord. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. As we sing this morning, I surrender all.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.